It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. This is our Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 3 recap, the Battle of Winterfell. It is your Thrones boys here, Rich Keefe, joined by Rickon Von Dickon, a.k.a. Davey Audio. Ryan Davey, how are you?
I'm doing all right now. I think we got it figured out. And I was late to the party. Sorry, but I think we got it figured out. My mic levels are way down.
No.
Way down.
Only about 30 minutes after we wanted to start. Yep. We are here. We are ready. We got it all figured out. Also, our third man in is Shime Time Baby. What's up, Shime?
Third time's a charm. Gotta love it. What's up, guys?
Now, I know, Shime, you were loving yourself some of the way this episode looked. You thought this was one of the finest episodes you've ever seen.
Yeah, so like I think that the way they handled the musical score was absolutely perfect. They made it tense where it should have been. They really kind of focused on the music a lot of the times and kind of closed it and kind of took away all the other audio and just allowed you to witness the mayhem and the tenseness of the situation where you thought like, oh, the Army of the Dead is here. Oh, the Night King's here. And they really kind of played well with that. And I thought it was one of the more beautiful episodes of television I've ever seen.
I thought one of the things I noticed was it was kind of dark. It was like really dark at times. And it was a little distracting a little bit. And again, I liked the episode overall. We'll get into all the stuff that there was. But during some of like the fight sequences, I was like, was that somebody that I think it was? Or like what's going on here? Like it was I think meant to be that way because it was supposed to be so chaotic for everybody involved, but I had a hard time like seeing it.
Yeah, I think that was a hard part for me too. But like you said, I think you kind of were, I think it was supposed to be that way because it was so, you weren't supposed to know, it was so dark. You weren't supposed to know who anybody was or what the hell was going on. Kind of like they were, because their whole thing was, remember the Dothraki ride out and you're like, you couldn't see what the hell was going on. Until yeah. All the, and that was such a cool shot where you just saw all those torches go out. And then the rest of the episode was just super dark.
Yeah, and I think I think it was done on purpose, though.
Oh, like,
I think that was their intent.
Definitely
yeah, intentional. They wanted you to get the feel of the chaos, and then everything you could only see by the fire of the dragons or the fire of the torches or the arrows or the swords. And I thought that was like, I know it can be difficult to see, but I think it was intentional. I think it was really unique in the way they did it.
Absolutely huge episode for the Red Lady. I mean, this was a monster episode. We've been talking for a while how we hadn't really seen her. We didn't know what she was up to. She shows up. She comes strolling in on her horse. Next thing you know, she's lighting everybody's swords on fire. And I'll tell you what, when she was talking to Arya, and she said to her, like, you were meant, a couple of things, first of all, Beric Dondarrion, my guy. Apparently, his whole reason for being was to keep Arya alive, which was amazing. But
that's awesome. Yeah.
Then when she goes to say, you know, you are going to shut a lot of eyes, brown eyes, green eyes, and blue eyes. At that moment, I looked over to my wife and I said, Arya's killing the Night King. Like,
here's the thing. I thought I had this wild idea that she was actually going to run past him and kill Bran.
Ooh.
And somehow Bran was the key to the whole thing. I'm glad I was wrong, but that in my mind, I'm like, she's going to fucking kill Bran.
See, the first thing that came to my head when she said blue eyes is that Arya was going to die. Like, she had to die for something to go right. And so she would become a White Walker. And then she said, you know, she gave the Cyril Farrell quote, what do we say to the God of Death? Not today.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, oh shit, she's going to go kill the Night King.
Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, the whole thing was just absolutely insane. But so we can get to that and the ending and everything else. But the Beric Dondarrion part was pretty crazy because obviously his relationship with, you know, the Lord of Light and everything and how he's been brought back. And, you know, it reminded me of like the Hodor thing in a way where it's like, here's a character who has one priority and you didn't know it all along. And it's actually kind of funny considering that at one point Beric was on Arya's list and yet Beric's sole job was to save her, and he did. And he went down fighting like a lot of the guys did. We can get to the kill count here in a second, but I just thought it made Beric's whole existence even better. And then the Arya kill, by the way, that's as good as you're going to get.
Pretty sweet.
The leap, catch, and then stab in the chest.
I thought the other thing too, very symbolic, was when Beric was holding the White Walkers back, he was in kind of a crucifix position.
Okay.
Ooh. I bring that up on we've had two Game of Thrones with sacrifices on two consecutive Easters. So we have Easter and now Greek Easter, where we have those types of things. So I figured it would bring that up. So worth a mention that I think that was symbolic.
I think he's sacrificing himself for the greater good. I think you're not wrong about
that. Wrong.
How about the hound? Hound's kind of pussing out with the fire, though, wasn't he?
Well, at least he wasn't crying on a pile of dead bodies like Sam. You know? Like, get up. Well, get up or get out. You know Sam what I mean? Like, do either be in or don't be in.
He's Sam got that slick back hair. Still, I didn't help him.
Yeah.
All right. So kill count in this episode, you have... the red lady dies. She ends up taking off the necklace at the end and just turning into the old lady and dying. And you kind of knew it. Like that was a great line, by the way, she says to Davos. She's like, no need to kill me. She's like, I'll be dead before dawn or whatever.
Do you think it would have been better if she lit all those bodies? And I know it's pointless now to light the bodies on fire, but if she walked out and like lit all the dead bodies on fire.
It would have been such cool symbolism if she did the whole like Night King's arm raise, but instead of everybody coming up from the dead, the fire.
Maybe a little too on the nose.
But that would have been really cool. Regardless. Yeah.
Also, she kind of like she's like, I'm going to give all of you guys like fire swords. And then she's like, I'm going to leave. And you're like, well, there's a ton of other people with swords here. You might want to throw some fire. You could use some lady.
Name in the back is like, hey, like what the fuck?
My sword's just regular. I have a regular sword. It's not on fire. But I also thought I'm like, well, that kind of takes away my man Beric. You know, he has like, kind of something that you know, he stands apart from. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, we all got flaming swords, man. Like, it's kind of get in line. Like, we all got one.
Seriously.
So Red Lady goes, now, did you think that, and again, overall, I really like the episode, but do you guys think that the Night King, after not being in the first couple of episodes from this season and all the buildup, like almost like off and on for eight seasons or seven seasons, for him to show up and then die as quickly as he did, was there any kind of, was that a letdown?
I thought it was almost too easy.
Yes.
Like it's like it was so finely laid out that it seemed almost too easy. Like there has to be some sort of catch or something, but it's like all the whites are dead. All the White Walkers are dead. It's like, they're not just all going to just reappear now.
I would have loved to have seen all of his generals get picked off like one by one.
Exactly.
By somebody, you know? So it's just him. So they're not just staying. Because the only people more useless than the Night King were his homies standing behind him. Because they died immediately. Like, they didn't even pick up the swords.
It was so overwhelming. Like, all the army of the dead coming in. And then when he, like, raised them up, too, to, like, go up against, like, Jon Snow. And he, like, raised them all up. Plus, he had his dragon. He had everybody. And you were like, they don't have enough people to save them. Like, the Red Lady was, like, the one kind of, like, trump card in a way that they had. So you're like, they kind of had to do that. Otherwise, he was going to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we also kind of predicted this, too, right? Like, we were saying it's not going to be four episodes against the Night King. Like, it can't be, because you still have the Lannisters hanging back, and they still have to really determine who's going to be on the throne at the end.
See, I thought one of two things was going to happen in this episode. And, again, we kind of called it. So I said, one, they're either going to kill the Night King, or they're going to turn tail, and everyone's going to run to King's Landing and be like, look, you need to help now. You know, and kind of talk Cersei into helping them. But I think it's better this way, because she was never going to help like at all. So I think it's better that they did it this way.
I do feel like, though, with an episode that was supposed to have like so much impact and so much death, I felt like there wasn't enough death, like major death.
Yeah. So basically, unless I saw wrong, and again, it was pretty dark at times, but Night King, Red Lady, Theon Greyjoy, Beric Dondarrion, Jorah Mormont,
Lyanna Mormont, and then Night's Watch Ed.
Night's Watch Ed, Little Lady, and the Ice Dragon, obviously.
Yes.
Well, our two dragons are gone now. There's only one left.
I don't think so.
Both of Danny's dragons, I think, are still up.
I think John's got injured, but I think he made it. And I feel good about that, because I think they would have shown it more. And when they did the sneak peek for next week's episode, I swear to God, I saw two dragons in the sky.
Okay, because I was under the impression that the dragon that John was about to stand and fight was his own, was Rhaegal.
No. That was the Ice Dragon that he was like battling with.
Because John's dragon was the one that ripped off the part of Viserys' face.
Yeah, two left. There's two left.
Okay,
I'm almost positive there's two left. But that's not to say that Danny's and John's are at 100%.
Because I saw John's do like a belly flop, and then you didn't really see him again.
Yeah,
all the characters that died, though, really with the exception of the Night King, like really ended on a high note. Like Theon killed dozens.
He put in some work.
Yeah. Jorah Mormont was another guy who, like, he had a bunch of kills.
And he saved Daenerys. That was, like, his big moment. Sacrificed his life. Yep, she did.
Which is good.
And then Lyanna got to kill the giant.
That was awesome.
That was a good kill by her. That was pretty well done. Yeah, no, that was good. And then again, like I said, the Red Lady, like, this was kind of her. This was her episode. Mm-hmm. But I guess that was my question. Like, Night King and Red Lady, was it sort of, here you are, like, get everything out of the way, and then you're kind of like, almost like, anticlimactic in a way, I guess I would have to put it.
So I didn't feel like it was anticlimactic. I just felt like they could have given me more. Like, there was a lot of space where they could have, like Davey said, had people going up against, like, the generals, and either A, given us more, like, big name deaths that really kind of attach us to this episode even more, get us more emotionally involved, or something. Like, I felt like there wasn't enough connection to those guys. It was just like Night King walks in with all his generals. Arya had one of their faces on, kills the Night King, end of episode. It's like, I wouldn't call it anticlimactic, but I felt like they could have done more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. I was just kind of, I just thought the Night King, it was going to take a little bit more, but at the same time, like, I don't think it would have been realistic for him to have, like, a one-on-one fight with Jon Snow. Like, he kind of needed to be ambushed like that, and who better to ambush him than Arya, which also sort of sets up, like, her entire purpose, maybe, from, like, day one, and the whole thing that we've talked about with, like, the Faceless Man, and, like, with Jaqen H'ghar, and just her whole path was to kill the Night King after all. And, like, maybe some of us thought it might be Jon Snow who was groomed for that, but in reality it was Arya. And, like, everybody that had been put in her place this whole time was so she could do this. And so, I mean, if you look at it that way, I think it makes more sense.
Agree. Yes.
No fight back on that.
No fight back on that. No, I'm not going to push back on that. I was a little bit distracted because people were mentioning my beard game in comparison to the two of you.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You know, and I was getting
for Christ's sakes.
No,
that's not why we're here. That's not what we're doing here.
We're not doing playoff beards. Should I have playoff beards?
I don't grow a beard.
Mine just looks like crap all the time anyway.
Yeah. You get that Sidney Crosby beard.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I know it's the Green Arrow beard from Green Arrow.
Yeah.
It's got a scruff.
Yeah, this was an emotional weekend. This was something. And like I said, I might just be emotionally spent. I don't have any more.
Don't talk Endgame. We're not. Talking
I'm not.
Endgame.
I just tomorrow. Said it was an emotional weekend.
That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow's pod.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
There's a lot to get to.
I do have a major gripe with this episode, though. I mentioned.
Ooh, let's hear it.
I mentioned it to Keith before we hopped on here. A little pre show
or the 20 minutes hop on. Yeah. We started this podcast five different times, and then we finally got it going.
So my big issue was in the opening scene, we're getting ready. Melisandre lights the Arrakis on fire. Everything's great. And Ghost is there ready to kick some ass, right? Dothraki charge with Jorah. Ghost charges too. And that's it. Ghost disappears. We don't see him die. We don't see him come back to the fight. Nothing. And he's like half the size he should be. And so
he's small.
I you're going to spend all this money on CGI and dragons. Why don't you spend the little extra CGI money on the freaking wolves who are awesome and show him killing a couple of pies? He could have saved John in the middle of all that mayhem. Maybe attack the dragon when John's right there. Like done something cool. You didn't have to keep him alive, but you had to do something with him.
Now, as the resident book guy, aren't the like direwolves supposed to be like almost as big as a horse?
Yeah, the direwolves. So like on all fours, like the flat of the back is like basically should be like up to John's shoulders.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's like what?
Oh, small like a pony.
This guy's like a little pup.
He's like a five pup. Yeah.
5'6" on all fours, like the size of a giant if it gets up on its hind leg.
Well, Kit Harington's like 5'5".
So okay. Yeah, I know. I'm being optimistic.
Yeah.
He's a littler dude. No,
he's a tiny guy. Yeah.
But that's one scene I did like. So I'm with you on Ghost. I think they kind of did Ghost dirty, and maybe it'll be a little bit better next week. What did you guys think of the scene where some of the dead was starting to get inside of the crypt? And then Sansa and Tyrion were sort of looking at each other, and it was like, they were kind of there. they were kind of this close to killing each other. They were kind
She was going to like kill herself, like right in front.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, she thought about it. She thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Nice little ex-husband and wife moment for you there.
Yeah,
it was. I also, it was a great line when she was like, you were the best of them. And he's like, oh, that's sad. It's like, well, considering it was Ramsay, Littlefinger, and Joffrey. Yeah, you were you were far and away.
The bar was pretty low. And I don't mean that as a short joke for Tyrion Lannister.
Come on.
I didn't mean it. Well, I didn't mean it like that. It's an common expression that we use. No, well, I didn't mean it like that. That's just something we say, you know, in the world.
It sounds like a short joke.
It's not. And far be it from me to make any of those jokes.
We had a good question from the chat that I saw was so much of their army has now died from taking on the dead. How do you think they stack up numbers wise now when they go up against Cersei?
Oh, they're screwed. They're screwed. They're boned and maybe porked and goosed.
They still have two dragons. I'm going to go in favor of the Northern army.
And I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but where's Dario Naharis in all of this?
And maybe he comes in pinched, you know, comes up from the rear.
Ooh, that's where he gets the pincer technique.
Yeah.
I like it. He's going to pork from the rear.
Yeah. he's going to come up from the rear.
He's
done it before.
Gentlemen, we have a big time update.
What's that?
They finally revealed the title of the episode on HBO's page. It is not titled The Battle of Winterfell. Instead, it is titled The Long Night.
I kind of like The Battle of Winterfell.
I like The Battle of Winterfell.
I do too.
The Long Night. It was a long night. Is night spelled with a K?
No.
Like Podrick?
Pod the Rot the God.
Shit, what was I just going to say?
So, for some of the ones... And
I remember that. Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead.
It makes sense that there were a lot of... forget it. I lost it. This is great audio.
Christ, for the love of Christ. What'd you guys think of the dragon versus dragon scene? I thought that was as sad as it gets when one brother had to turn on the other brother, considering one brother's now an ice dragon.
I can hear you in your best BoJack voice, like begging them to stop.
Stop it! Try to turn them back! Turn them back! No!
Don't worry about his name!
Oh, man, he's fine! For a second, I thought when the ice dragon looked at John was going to be able to like convince him to like change back to like a healthy normal dragon. I thought he had it in
a little glimmer in his eye. Now since John, as we now know, is a Targaryen, is he impervious to fire?
John should be.
He should be, but yeah, I don't think he knows that.
I don't think that's a Targaryen trait. I think that's a unique to Dany trait.
Because
one of the stories of Targaryen lore, I believe I've mentioned before on this podcast, is during the birth of Rhaegar Targaryen, there was a giant party at this place called Summerhall. And when Rhaegar was born, a pyromancer accidentally lit basically the whole place on fire and a ton of people died, most of which were Targaryens. So I don't think it's necessarily a Targaryen trait that they can't be burned. Okay. I think that's more a Dany trait. I would have been more... expecting John to be able to survive like the ice dragon blast because he's of the north. He embodies the cold while Dany embodies the heat.
Okay, the Night King withstand fire?
Magic.
He's also a wizard.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a wizard.
So speaking of magic, again, going back to our book guy, Shime Time Baby, what can you tell us about the Red Lady? Sort of like what do we know about her? Maybe a little bit more so than just from the show.
So with her, it's weird. So I think she is different than a lot of other of the red priests and priestesses. It's really funny. So you see some of the red priests and priestesses across the sea when Dany is still trying to make her way to Westeros. We even see Tyrion talk to one of them, and they believe that Dany is like Azor Ahai, the princess that was promised, basically. But then you see one like Melisandre, who really isn't sure who the prince that was promised is. She goes from Stannis to Jon, and then she knows Arya is the one to kill the Night King. So does that mean Arya is the prince that was promised, or is it still Jon? And then you see a guy like Thoros of Myr, who was a Red Priest and preached all these things and then abandoned it only to be able to resurrect Beric Dondarrion. So there's a lot of dichotomy in all these Red Priests and Priestesses to a point where we don't really know anything other than the Lord of Light is this God of Fire that really wanted the Night King to lose.
Okay.
All right. More practical question.
Let me hear it.
I thought that the dagger with which Arya killed the Night King, she gave to Sansa.
No, she gave Sansa a dragonglass dagger.
I thought she gave her hers.
No.
Because even when she's running away from the zombies, like in the library, you can see that Valyrian steel dagger on her hip still.
Okay. All right. Again, it was so dark. It was kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. All right. I thought it was just my TV for a while. I was like, shit, I need to get a new TV. Like I got a real problem on my hands. So also of note is, so you know the two guys that always speak after the episodes, if you ever watch those behind the episodes, is it
Weiss and Benioff?
Creators? Yeah, Weiss and Benioff.
Yeah, those two guys. So they didn't write the first two episodes of this season, but they wrote this episode and the final three episodes after this.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's of note, but yeah, so I think based on the number of characters that you expected to die, was it more or less, not necessarily who, but more or less or about the right number?
It was less for me. I thought more people were going to die.
I totally agree.
Yeah. I'm surprised that either Jaime or Brienne didn't die. Like one of them should have died.
Yeah, you would think after like the last episode was all completely dedicated to Brienne that you're like, all right, this is it probably for her or maybe Jaime. And also, what did you guys think at the very beginning, like when the battle first started and the dead army came like swooping through, like a number of like the marquee characters like got knocked on their ass and then they kind of like cut away and you're like, are they dead or like what are we doing here?
I don't know. I think you had like three distinct groups or three or four groups on the battlefield, and I feel like one of each of those groups should have died, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a lot of duos. So like one of your duos was Tormund and like Gendry, or Tormund and Sam. Yeah. Like one of those
two. Gendry didn't do much this episode.
No, you just saw him swinging an axe around.
Yeah, a couple good ones. A couple good kills.
And then you had guys like Beric and the Hound, which we actually got a kill from. And like from a purely storytelling perspective, there's so many characters left that don't have a lot to do with the story arc itself. Like they don't have a necessity to be there. So it's like, why didn't you take that opportunity in this episode to kind of kill them? Not be brutal about it, but like kill them off, like give them an end to their story, because we don't need guys like Grey Worm anymore. It's true though. Like it's like a guy like Grey Worm, it's like, cool, he's a great character, we love him. But at the same time, it's like, he's already served his purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. That's definitely true. I would say it's got to be unanimous. The MVP of the episode was Arya, right?
Arya Stark.
Mm-hmm. Like there's no other.
I think Melisandre is, you know, a nice secondary character there for the MVP. But I think.
Yeah, so that would Arya be my case. So like, who else would receive? Actually, it'd probably be unanimous Arya. So then you need to like a second team all Game of Thrones. Like who would be the next notch down? Like who are the other like two or three characters? I think Red Lady was definitely, she has to be up there.
Beric has to be up there.
Yep.
Beric, yeah, because now you know what he stands for and what he's
going on. And now I think Theon, you got to give a nod to a little
Theon
for keeping Bran alive.
And I think they severely underutilized their main character in Jon this episode. Like he was just fucking sitting on a dragon for half the episode.
When in
every other episode, every battle, he is in the forefront and he is killing everybody because his sword is so important. Mm-hmm. Having Longclaw is such an important part of who he is. And instead of flying around on a dragon.
Dude, that is a great point. And I was even laughing about it. We're talking with my wife when we're watching it. We're like, you get this huge battle going on. And they even showed like the first time, like Dany came swooping in and like used her fire and like wiped out a bunch of people. And like, you're like, yeah, do more of that. Or maybe lead with that rather than letting all your people die. And they're like, they're watching and they're just like hanging out. They're like, look at this battle. This is crazy. And then at one point, I swear they just wanted to see how high they could take their dragons. And you're like, get out of there. Like, come back down where like people are dying. Like, I didn't get what the hell was going on.
What if they went into the moon and it was like the shot of like Batman, like in the original Batman where he went up.
I thought it was going to happen.
But right back down. It looked like the Iron Fist symbol.
I was waiting for it. I really was. Yeah. I was like, what are we doing here? Yeah. But yeah, no, they were good. Now we always kind of reset after each episode. What we've seen now through, we're halfway through, I guess is another way of looking at it. We're halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. Who is now most likely to be on the throne at the end?
It's got to be John. If John survived that, so yeah, it's got to be him, right?
Well, I mean,
the odds on.
I still think Sansa.
I never thought.
I'm not sleeping Sansa, on her,
but yeah, I think
I'm not sleeping on her. But
you can't sleep on her. She's definitely got to be right up there at the top. But yep. I mean, Danny, John, Sansa are all still alive. Danny might be carrying a baby. Tyrion's still alive. Obviously, Cersei's still alive.
Yep.
But the Night King's done. So the Night King wiped out.
Well, so, and people are, speaking of that, so people are complaining. I'm looking at Twitter as I'm doing this, and people are complaining like, oh, so like the White Walkers can hear blood hit the floor, but they can't hear Arya sneaking up on people. And I would say to that,
she's very sneaky.
She got caught, so it's not like he didn't know she was there. That wasn't the thing that got him. He didn't sneak up on her because he grabbed her.
Yeah. Right. And, well, and the other and thing, too, is she didn't sneak up just looking like Arya. She literally wore the face of a white in order to get close. Like, it's not like she just, like, snuck up through all these white zombies.
Wait,
like,
she did? I missed that. I missed that completely.
Well, so it didn't actually happen, but it was implied that that's what she did.
Oh, okay.
Because of Melisandre saying, you also wear blue eyes. It was so supposed to signify, oh, I'm going to go take the face of a white, which is how she got so close. And then she's in when Bran was originally circled by all like the white zombies, and not the White Walkers. She was one of those whites in the front. And then as the White Walkers come in, all she had to do was leap at the Night King.
Okay.
And by that time, it wouldn't have mattered.
And see, I thought what Melisandre was saying was that like you have shut all these people's eyes, meaning like she has killed people with brown eyes, green eyes, and now blue eyes. That's what I thought. That's what I thought she meant.
No, what she meant is that Arya will have worn people's faces with all these different color eyes.
Okay. Well, I like that. I mean, either way, she's fantastic. Either way,
she got there. But my gripe is like that she didn't actually sneak up on him because he turned around and caught her. So he didn't really sneak up on her. So
she also let out a nice little battle cry in the middle of the air.
Yeah.
So that didn't really help.
All right. So you guys are smarter than me. Can you explain to me Bran?
Nope. nope. Can't. I don't know what he was doing that whole time.
I really want to make a reference, but I don't want to make a reference here. I feel like it's too early to make a reference. So what I'm going
to
say is,
if you were going to make a Christopher Reeve reference, we'd have to dump it because it's not appropriate, Sean. We're not going to allow it. It's just not happening.
No, that's not the reference I'm going to make. But I did see a nice comment on Twitter that I don't understand in this world of magical animals why they haven't found one that Bran can just ride around on all the time.
Good point. Good point,
Mark. Right? Especially with someone who he can clearly control animals. So.
I just feel like he's so confused. I mean, he's been confusing that for a while, but when he's sitting there and like they're all like getting set and like Theon, they all got like their fire arrows and he's like looking at Theon and he's like, I'm going to go now. And then he just like eyes roll in the back of his head like he's the Undertaker. And then the next thing you know,
Theon's going like,
what the fuck did you go?
Like, bitch, where? Like, where are you going?
we're still here. We're here.
Like, no.
We're kind of right in it. Like, we're in the shit right now, if you don't mind. So what I was confused, because obviously there's so many online theories about how Bran is the Night King.
Right.
And so he does the Undertaker eyes. Next thing you know, it's like a bunch of birds, and they all fly towards the Night King. And then the Night King, like, it flies right up to him. You see the Night King, and he, like, raises his hand out. And then that sends the dead across, like, the moat and stuff. And you're like, so – what was he just going to get a better look, or like, is he him? Like, I still have I feel like I, without reading the books, I feel like I know Game of Thrones pretty well. I cannot explain Bran to anybody. I have no idea.
No, yeah, if you'd ask me what he does, I would have no, I couldn't answer it.
No.
Yeah. Like I would have just said, yeah, he's getting high off trees. Literally, that's what it is. It's like every time he just likes to sit under this white tree with red leaves and his fucking, he gets the Undertaker eyes and he is just stoned.
I don't get it. So
I'm going to go away now. Where are you going?
Why don't you stay here, my man? Why don't you stay right here? Yeah. Why don't you stay right here? I don't really get it.
It's like, you do realize they're coming to kill us right here, right? we're not leaving.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere unless I push you. So they're coming here.
You're a good man, Theon.
Like, okay. And then he's like, all right, cool. So you want me to charge him? And then he goes, oh!
By the way, that was the most awkward run I've ever seen.
Not an athlete. Theon Greyjoy is not an athlete.
For a second there, I thought he was going to kill him. I really did. I was like, hey, he's gonna get him. No, I didn't. Of course I didn't, because there was no chance. But Theon ultimately... Did he save himself? I guess he kind of did, right? From like what he
redemption?
Was?
Redemption?
He redeemed himself, yes.
That's today, redemption is spelled T-H-E-O-N. All right, so the final three episodes, does Bran even have any use now?
I don't think so.
Again, he's been... His connection with the Night King is gone now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So what did you say? So we have three episodes to go. Obviously, it's going to be this army versus the Lannisters. But then also, if this army wins, there's still sort of the undetermined thing about like what happens in the North after that episode. Right. Or last week's episode with Sansa and Dany kind of being like, what's up with the North? And she's like, huh? And then she's like, oh, I got to go. Like, don't touch me. And then so there's that part. But then... there's also still plenty of time for Dany to like go crazy, or like all these other, these like possibilities still exist.
Yeah. And there's so many weird storylines now. It's like with the way things panned out here, it's like, okay, so what are we going to do with Jamie now? It's like, is he going to fight for Dany and Jon? Are they going to kill him so that he can't go fight for Cersei, or is he going to leave and go fight for Cersei?
Oh yeah. Good point. And not Jamie, to be that guy, not to be that guy that looks, but we're streaming this live on YouTube. So next week, I think we'll work the kinks out. So we'll have this going. Yep. Who are the cowards that have already given us a thumbs down? How dare you?
Chuck Teach, show yourself. Are you
not entertained? This is free. This is free content.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
You know what, Keith?
Piece of
a positive
shit.
Of 471 viewers can only come with the negative of two downvotes.
I suppose you're right.
Now, is that total viewers? Is that viewers live right now?
Watching now is what the
400 people?
465.
Yeah,
470.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
My God.
YouTube, what baby.
What do I do for that on a Twitch stream?
Like, just,
you know?
Twitch doesn't promote you like
I know.
YouTube does.
That's true. Yeah. Just think how many we'd have had we started on time without all the fucking technical difficulties.
Seriously. Oh, my God.
Well, I appreciate that. Everybody that's in this chat right now, thank you. If you joined us late, I'm gonna podcast it on Dork. Sure. We're going to be doing this every, three more times. There's only three more episodes. So we're going to do it three more times. A good little reaction spot. But that's a... Oh, look at that. As soon as I said that, now we have 11 thumbs down. You guys are all fucking losers. That's me.
I was like, you shouldn't have said it. I wasn't going to say it out loud, but like, you shouldn't have mentioned it. You shouldn't have mentioned that was a thing.
You're all cowards. Yeah. Everyone. And you know who you are. You know who you are.
What is this?
Oh, man.
Tomfoolery. I don't believe it.
But anyway.
Hey, but you know what? Interactions of any kind are good. So
yes.
All press is good press.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Hey, you know, we don't miss words.
So I'm reading the chat too. If you guys, a lot of disappointment with this chapter. And for me, there was a bit of like that. What I did like that they took a break in the middle and there was a bit of a lull where you could just like, okay, like where it, yeah, but I understand that why people would be disappointed. I'm just choosing not to be, if that makes a lick of sense to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so in now that like I would have a hard time coming away with like hating anything as it really. I feel like they've done such a good job overall, and the fact that we knew going in, there's only six episodes left, so a lot was going to have to happen in each episode. And the first two, they actually just did a great job of setting everything up. So on the one hand, I'm looking at it and I say, well, the Night King kind of died easily. Like he kind of showed up, then Arya killed him. That's it. Like after all that. But then I think back to everything that Arya has done this entire time has been for this. And like even other characters, and we mentioned this earlier, but like Beric Dondarrion's, essentially his existence was for that one moment where he saved her and like things like that. So like she was put on this planet in order to kill the Night King. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. But now you're like, all right, now we have three episodes and it's going to be army versus army. And then there may be even like a civil war here because Sansa and Dany are not friends.
No.
It's going to be really weird how it plays out. I mean, I still think there's that it's really setting up to kind of play it so that there's not one true monarchy anymore, that they're going to kind of shatter that
Seven Kingdoms
progenitor monarchy. Yeah, it's good. They're going to kind of make it more into a democracy or region-based ruling system and like have like a council of sorts. But I mean, it's I'm curious to see how they're going to match the intensity of even at least the final episode to something like this. Like you built this episode up to be the greatest thing anyone's ever seen. And it was good. I don't think it quite reached that expectation. I really liked it, but I don't think it was just like pure bliss from beginning to end. And in order to match that intensity, you're going to have to do something like out of bounds crazy over the next three episodes.
Well, that's kind of my thing too, is like what this did. I think we all said that there should have been a higher kill count in this episode than there was. And now the only frustrating thing for me is like, there's a lot of loose ends that need to be tied up in three episodes now. Because now I have more questions than I had going into that episode. I'm like, all right, why is this person still alive? Why is this person still alive? You know? Right. So, because they have to, they can't just like, that can't be their last episode. Like they're going to have to show up later.
Well, and what's interesting too, is like, if you survive this episode, I feel like some of these guys have a really good chance now of finishing it out. Like I thought like Tormund and Grey Worm and Brienne, if they could survive this, I feel like they're definitely going to survive. I understand it's going to be a big war, but like I feel like, and I know at the preview for next week, you know, Danny said, "Hey, we won." What she said, the war with the, what'd she call it? Like we won the war with the dead, and now we're going to win the last war or whatever the hell she called it.
This is but
basically this is going to be it. This is Endgame, as it were. Very topical.
Let's talk Endgame now.
We're in the. She looked over. She locked eyes with Tyrion. She said, "We're in the Endgame now."
Well, see, no,
this is plagiarism. This is insane.
That's how I would describe Bran. He's Doctor Strange. We're in the Endgame now, Tony.
He is Doctor Strange. That's a good point. That's a good point. What kind of? What you guys have any predictions for next week? What we're going to expect? Anything?
What I want, again, and I've said this, I think we said this before, I want the Hound to take up Beric's sword and use it to murder his brother.
That'd be lit.
That was
literally.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. So once again, Beric Dondarrion, my favorite character, well, second favorite, Arya is my favorite, but Beric Dondarrion dead. Great run on the show. Nice job by him. Theon certainly had his ups and downs.
Yeah, more, a lot of downs.
More downs than ups.
Probably more downs, but RIP Theon. Night King, we hardly knew ye. the Red Lady, I was waiting for her to take the necklace off, and she did, and she got super old. But why do you guys think she pulled the trigger there? Because she would have survived.
But like, her purpose was over. It's like she was the Lord, just like you had said, like Arya was put on this earth to kill the Night King. Melisandre was put on this earth to help Arya eventually kill the Night King. And so her job was done. She'd lived for years and years beyond her wildest dreams. And that was it.
All right. So people are in the chat are talking about who's dead and who's not dead. So it's very clear. So you just listen to us. So Red Lady, Night King, Jorah Mormont is definitely dead. He had a good run. Theon Greyjoy, Beric Dondarrion, and
Lyanna Mormont.
Little Lady Mormont is also dead.
Night Watch Ed.
And then obviously the Ice Dragon, because he was a part of the Ice Army. So they're all dead. So I would say if you add them up like that, that's like eight That's like 8 legit deaths, though. That's a good number, I think.
And I saw in the chat people were confused if Gilly was dead or alive. She is, in fact, alive. If you go to the final scene right after Arya kills the Night King, they show Tyrion and everyone in the crypts, and she is on the right side of the screen with her kid standing in front of her. So she's
100%. How do you have that good of a, like, that photographic of a memory? Unless you're rewatching it right now.
I'm not. No, like, I'm dead serious.
No, but I also feel like, If it's a major character, they kind of owe it to us to make it very clear that they died. And because I said the same thing when I was watching with my wife, and I go, "Is that Gilly?" And like they kind of cut away, and I'm like, "That can't be." Like they would have spent more time on it. It had it been her.
Yeah.
So anyway, but next week they don't get right into a battle next week, do they?
No, you have to deal with the fallout. Set it up. Yeah.
You got to get there first.
Exactly.
You
know?
If they show up, if they open the, because I think they showed them like leaving Winterfell. Does Sansa stay behind in Winterfell? Yes,
definitely.
There must always be a Stark in Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So. I think what you're going to get a lot from the next episode is I think you're actually going to get a lot of the North people siding with Dany or supporting Dany at least, because basically her dragons were so instrumental in helping win this battle against the dead. And I think you're going to see, like, they're going to want to fight for her. And Sansa's still going to be hesitant to even think about it. And they're going to begin to march north once they bury and burn their dead. And Sansa's going to stay behind.
Okay.
All right.
Any predictions there, Rickon? Von?
Which is funny because the Rickon Von Dickon, that's two characters' names in this show. Yeah. I know that was done on purpose, but
that's how it
fits the rhyme scheme.
I also called you Rondarian Von Dondarian. That's a good one too.
That's a good one too. I think this is probably going to be the worst episode of the season. And I say that because
I'm sorry. You think this is the worst episode?
No, the next one.
The next episode is going to be the worst one. Because you're coming off the long night, and then you're going to go right back into like setup again. Because you have to set the whole thing up again. And it's just like people just want to go. And people were pissed that the previous two episodes were good, but they were all set up. And now you're going to have to do that shit all over again. And people are going to like get mad. That's my prediction.
It turns into a Walking Dead season where the only good episodes are the premiere, the mid-season finale/premiere, and then the finale.
But they only have 3 episodes, though. I feel like they're going to have to get things going. We're going to get Cersei and Aaron Greyjoy. They're going to be doing the nasty.
Pumping.
They're going to be having sex.
Sex.
Who has the best sigil in the game? Shyam?
Okay.
You want to go?
I'm a Mormont guy. I like the bear.
Ooh, bear's a good one. Bear's a good one. Bebe?
I honestly love the symbolism of the Dornish people, the sun spear. The spear going through the sun. Big fan.
That's a good one. That's a good one, too.
There's also one, I don't remember what the family house is, but it's a eagle with a baby in its talons. That one's a good one. I'll look it up while you continue chatting.
What about Davos has an onion? I do like the Targaryen with the dragons. The three-headed dragon's good. I also like, Stark's kind of like, I know it's an easy one, but like the wolf is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Baratheon
can F the stag, the deer. Like,
oh, you don't like the deer? Yeah. The old Milwaukee Bucks logo?
No, I do like that. I do. Imagine like their house sigils, like this little like cross, like with sitting with his legs crossed, like spinning a basketball or something. That would have been awesome.
I was trying to come up with some sort of tweet today about House Baratheon and the Bucks, but it passed me by. I didn't have it. My question is this. We can kind of wrap up on this. And thanks to everybody who was watching this live. That's really cool. Who is the Night King? Who was the Night King? Are we ever going to know? Is anybody going to find out?
Oh, you know, Bran, that's all Bran's thing now. Like him and Sam are going to like hash that out when they do like the whole story thing. So Bran knows.
But at this point, does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like,
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But neither does like who was Snoke. Like, I don't know. I still want to know. Like, I got all worked up about it. I'd kind of like a payoff. And I also think that my whole time I've thought that the Night King was the Mad King. And when Daenerys tried burning him and it didn't work, I'm like, that's another reason why it's him. And I know, Sean, you said that maybe it's not a Targaryen thing, it's a Dany thing. But if it is a Targaryen thing, well, he doesn't get burned.
Yeah, it's just so at this point, it's like, I think if they wanted to tell us who the Night King was, they would have done it almost in the two episodes leading up to this episode, because it would have given us more of an attachment to the Night King as a character. But at this point, all he was just the embodiment of death. Like, that's all he was there for. Mm. He wasn't even a villain. It's like he's not even a person. It's just like this thing. It's an entity that's just coming to kill you. And it's like, dude, the real villain of the series is going to be Cersei. And so, like, that's where the issue is. And I think that's where they fell short on the Night King, because they built him up to be this fucking powerhouse of a dude that just couldn't lose, and then they gave us no backstory, no attachment to him whatsoever, no reason for doing what he was doing, except that he wanted to erase the memory of the world, and then he dies.
All right. Yeah, people seem to be kind of conflicted on the episode. I feel like it's going to be a mixed bag tomorrow when everybody's talking about
mixed it. Mixed bag, yeah, for
you
sure.
Half people like it, half people didn't. All right, that's gonna do it for us, unless you guys have any final thoughts.
No. We got any questions? We got any questions we see right? I know there's a lot of people in here, but
there's a lot going on. We still
Ice spiders. 500
ice spiders would have been good.
No, thank you with the ice spiders.
What do you mean? You didn't want ice spiders running around, Davey?
No. I've seen
So one of the questions,
and again, not to tip our hand too much, but like, this was just, it's been a lot for me this weekend.
Yeah, trust me. I feel emotionally drained
today. I'm spent. It's been a lot.
So, yeah, thanks. So tomorrow we will Davey and I are going to do our end game episode. And that's going to be, I know, listen, it's going to be a lot to get to. And then next week, hopefully we'll have it a little bit sharper. As soon as the episode is over, we're going to be right back here doing episode 4 recap of Thrones, and we'll be doing it the rest of the way. So thanks for jumping in here.
Yeah, awesome.
What do we got? What do we got for questions?
YouTube live rolling though, for sure.
YouTube is definitely going on and popping.
Hell yeah!
I can't even keep track of all the questions.
One of the questions I noticed that I've seen actually a couple of times is people have asked about the Azor Ahai prophecy, and it's like this prince that was promised was supposed to come and slay the Night King and stop the Long Night, but like, it's never been clear to us, because we were propped up to think that it was going to be Jon and all this stuff, and then like Arya kills the Night King, which I think was a better payoff than Jon being this Jesus Christ like savior that kills the Night King. Yeah. But like, what do we do with all these prophecies? Like, we were told so many seasons through that prophecies mattered and that what they said were real and actually happened, and then we get this Azor Ahai prophecy and it just means nothing now.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what though. I like that Arya killed the Night King. That is sweet to me. Like, I was fine with her just being an assassin and kill all the people that wronged her. But then also for like the training to pay off to like, I don't know, save the whole entire world. Like, that's also pretty good. So I like going into the season, like predictions on who would kill the Night King, it was really like her or Jon Snow or maybe Danny, I guess. And so the fact that it was Arya, I'm good with. I have no problem with that.
I got a question in the chat here. Jason Gurney still asking about my beard grooming. So I will
For fuck's sake.
Stop. Invest in a Philips One Blade for grooming products. Invest in one of those.
Keith, you believe this guy?
I don't. Oh, let me jump back another part of the episode, which I liked, which we didn't mention.
Oh, we're still talking about Game of Thrones? Okay, sorry.
Game of Thrones episode 3, which was called The Long Night.
The Long Night. Name.
There was the one scene where they were in the crypt and Sansa was like kind of talking shit kind of about the fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the dragon queen.
And then Missandei was like, yeah, we'd all be dead if it wasn't for her. She was like, ooh.
We're going to be dead in a minute anyway. Yeah. So then she got up and turned her back on her. Disrespectful. Yeah.
You can't do that to a queen.
No.
A Lady of Winterfell. I don't know. Anything else?
No.
Sean, you want to end on a high note here? Davey, anything?
This was a high note. This was great, guys.
Thanks for joining the thing. Sorry for the technical difficulties earlier on, but it seems like a lot of you found your way in here anyway.
I don't think Ghost is dead.
No, yeah, Ghost did not. I don't think so either.
No, they, once again, I feel
like they would have showed it. Mm-hmm.
For the fifth time, the key deaths this episode: Night King, Red Lady, Jorah Mormont, Theon Greyjoy, Beric Dondarrion, Little Lady Mormont, Ed from the Night's Watch,
yes.
Ed from the Night's Watch, and then obviously the Ice Dragon as well.
So, yeah, I don't think they're going to Admiral Ackbar anybody in this show and just say, by the way, they're dead.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
So thanks to all of you that watched. Thanks for all of you that liked the video, and fuck off for all of you that disliked the video. I don't know what your problem is or what we did to you. I mean, I guess, you know, if you didn't like the last video because we had to stop, that's understandable.
You got to stop bringing it up. People are just going to give you, now they're just to be dicks, they're going to thumbs down the whole thing.
Bring it on.
Oh, no, I hate it.
All right. Anyway, again, we'll be back next week. YouTube.com/dork podcast. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel there, because you'll get alerts on when we're going live. We have our Endgame episode tomorrow with Ron Von Don. We'll see how that goes. See if we make it out of that. See if we survive that episode. I am nervous. You can follow Shimetime at Shimetime on Twitter, at R Von D on Twitter, and at Dork Podcast on Twitter. Thanks so much for checking this out. And, yeah, that was a lot to take in. That was a busy episode of Game of Thrones, and we're looking forward to the final three episodes of the season. You can keep up with all of it here on hashtag Dork. Thanks for watching, and another perfect episode once we got it sorted out.